When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Rain of Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys. Let's open up that rave line. Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is going to do the same thing again, year after year. Oh, no.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Reign of Troy Radio, episode 408, coming to you on Wednesday, May 5th. We're going to talk about the latest in USC football and so much more here on the podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Reign of Troy, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Reign of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Google Play, wherever you can find a podcast, we are there. Our bonus episodes are on Patreon, patreon.com/reignoftroy. Our email address is reignoftroy@fansided.com, and our phone number is 213-373-1USC.
Suck it, Woods Brewing Show.
I'm your host, Michael Castillo, journalist with my co-host, Alicia D'Aratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Alicia. It is time to talk draft, NFL draft.
Yes? Was this a question?
Maybe. I mean, the spring camp is over. I feel like it ended just as quickly as it came.
It was weird that it continued on for 2 weeks after the spring game.
Right? It was an anticlimactic ending in that
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Ended on Friday on top of that.
Yeah, it was just all around odd.
Yeah, a little bit. SC is done with football for the school year. Until they won't be back on the field until summer workouts. There was the NFL draft over the weekend. We're going to talk about that and so much more here on the episode. But I'm bummed because now we go into the doldrums of the offseason. May and June tend to be the worst months for college football content. I shouldn't be telling this to people because people are going to be like, oh, so we can not listen to the next 2 months. But that's not true. You have to listen to us.
Well, we find interesting things to talk about. Maybe more interesting than the 2021 Trojans, if we're being honest.
I mean, that's a good point. And perhaps more interesting than 2020 and 2019 and so on.
Well, definitely more interesting than 2018. So,
and 2010. We've established 2010.
2010 is the most forgettable of all the
most forgettable USC campaign of all time.
Yeah. At least 2018 was bad enough to be memorable.
What was SC's record in 2010?
Like 8-5 or 7?
It is. It was 8-5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8-5.
Yeah.
Do you know why it was 8-5?
Was that the year that USC lost to Arizona on homecoming?
They played Hawaii.
Oh, so it was right. 13 games, 13
even though
games.
They had the bowl ban. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
8-5. Who was the quarterback for Hawaii at the time? You know?
That guy.
Moniz.
Oh, yes. Sure, that guy. Just like I said.
Huh? I feel like Hawaii's had memorable quarterbacks. Timmy Chang.
Yeah. What's his face?
Colt Brennan.
Brennan, yeah. That's the guy.
The most recent one was, what, McDonald?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. That dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the Arches, McDonald.
Good anyways, nugs.
Yeah, good nugs, mm-hmm. Which leads us into talking about our sponsor, the worldwide leader in trimming your nugs, Manscaped, which has breaking news. Alicia, breaking news.
Breaking and exciting news.
Breaking news. Manscaped has gone balls to the wall with their new trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got ceramic blades. It's got skin-safe technology. You're not going to nick your nards.
I mean, it's breaking news, but it's not breaking skin?
It's technology that you would think like Elon Musk would have put money into.
Like Dogecoin.
Take your win earnings from Dogecoin.
I could literally take my earnings from Dogecoin.
And put it into Manscaped.
And put it into Manscaped.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the Rotbots get 20% off and free shipping with using the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the promo code FANSIDED20. Unlock your confidence and always, always, always use the right tools.
Got to be good to the nuggets.
Yeah. Heck, you can even dunk them with Manscaped.
Dunk them into the crop preserver anti-chafing deodorant?
That's right, yeah.
That's another Manscaped product.
Manscaped.com. Yeah. Get 20% off with FANSIDED20. 20% off and free shipping to all the Rotbots out there. And keep your nuggets crispy. Crispy?
I don't know if that's the word to use, but yeah.
Smooth.
Keep them smooth. Well, I think we've run this analogy into the ground, Michael.
Yeah. All
right. We can only do so much.
Let's just get to the news. Alicia, as we talked about at the top of the show, spring camp is all over for USC, which means we have to talk about other things like the transfer portal. It's transfer portal season once again on campus. I guess not on campus in this instance, most of these things. We know that Caleb Tremblay went into the transfer portal a couple weeks ago. Now we learn he is headed to be a Tennessee Volunteer.
Tennessee is the new Illinois?
Is it?
And USC is the new Texas?
Sure.
It's just the way these things are going. It's funny. If you follow all the transfer portal stuff, you'll see that there's just patterns. Like, you get a group of guys from one school that end up in another school. Like, a bunch of guys from USC, Valus Jones, Caleb Tremblay. It happened with Illinois, with Wola Betiku and Trayvon Sidney and Josh Madubuike. It just... We're seeing
Daniel Madubuike.
And Daniel Madubuike, yeah.
A couple of assistants, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think this is just the way of the world, is that you're not just getting one transfer, you're getting the possibility of others. And yeah, so Caleb Tremblay is going to see what he can do in his last year of eligibility at Tennessee. And you just, you know, wish him well. The good news for USC is that they, this spring, really seem to identify some really bright young defensive linemen that will help make it less noticeable that Caleb Tremblay isn't there. Now, Caleb Tremblay was a nice veteran presence, but he's dealt with a lot of injury problems, so availability wasn't his best trait. And I think that there's the potential that someone like Jamar Sakona, someone like Kobe Pepe, someone like Tuli Tupelotu for certain.
Dejon Benton,
that those guys can have higher ceilings. And so I think it works out for USC, and we'll see if it works out for Caleb Tremblay. He's going to a defense that needs a ton of help, so, you know.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what happens to him. Wish him the best of luck. And then there's Munir McLean, who re-enters the portal. He had been in the portal. He had come out of the portal. We know that he missed last season and he was suspended. I would guess, maybe? I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, but... He could go to Jackson State. to play with his brother again down in Alabama with Deion Sanders. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. He might not have been in the transfer portal, but I think we all knew that he wasn't going to be playing for USC again. So this is new news, but kind of old news as well. So again, you just got to wish him the best and hope that things work out for him in the long run.
Yeah, 100%. And then there's Malcolm Epps, who is doing the inverse. He is coming to USC from Texas, yet another Texas transfer. We've talked about them before. Keontae Ingram, Xavier Alford, Brew McCoy. There's been a ton.
The coaching staff.
Yeah, the coaching. Well, we talked about the coaching staff. And think about it. Why was Illinois a pipeline from USC? Because Kenora Hudson went there.
Yeah.
He left SC. He went there. There was a defensive line GA who ended up.
I think Austin Clark was also.
Austin Clark. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. And then why did Valus Jones go to Tennessee? Because of T. Martin.
Yeah.
So coaches move and then players move with the coaches. And you see that with SC hiring a bunch of Texas guys. And then lo and behold, SC becomes a landing spot for Texas transfers like Malcolm Epps, who is a 6'6", 250-pound tight end. He's the number 227 prospect in the 2018 class, according to 24/7 Sports. He caught 24 passes for 292 yards and 4 TDs in 24 games, 7 of them being starts for the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, so this is interesting because he is a pass-catching tight end. He came out of high school sort of as one of those guys he's more a receiver than a tight end. And it's just another sign that I think USC has a plan at tight end. I will believe that this is going to work out when I see it, in the sense that, like, we've seen USC have too much potential at tight end, and then none of it really result in much sort of game changing aspects for the offense. They clearly have an idea here of getting in guys who can be pass catching threats in this air raid offense. Will that come to pass? I don't know. But that's what this guy, that's what Malcolm Epps is going to come to USC to do. Now, I thought it was really interesting when this news came out. We had people in our mentions on Twitter talking about how, why would you transfer to USC if you're a tight end? Don't you see that USC never throws to their tight ends? Well, swap over to Texas's stat sheet over the last, you know, 3-4 years, and they don't throw to the tight end either. So, you know, it's I think that we sort of lose sight of how rare really, 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 really productive tight ends are, that a lot of programs don't get that much out of their tight ends, especially programs that have good wide receivers, like Texas has had some really stellar wide receivers over the last couple of years. And that's just a reality. So it'll be interesting to see if USC can carve out a role for him. Michael Trigg coming in, Jude Wolf or Ethan Ray or Josh Follow or, you know, Eric Kromenhoke or anybody else who's currently on the roster. But there is more depth there, I suppose. I mean, the thing about USC's tight end group is, I talked about availability not being Caleb Tremblay's best trait. Like, USC's tight ends are constantly injured, all of them constantly injured, never available. So, you know, Malcolm Epps might end up seeing a lot of playing time just by default if the injury track record holds up, and we'll see what he has when he gets in there. But we'll have to wait until fall to understand if this is a player who's just going to be depth, or if this is going to be a player who really takes over the role and becomes a mainstay for USC's offense.
Yeah, I want to see what happens there. I want to see what happens with Malcolm Epps on the roster, what happens to all the other tight ends, because there's a million of those guys. They can't all ride the pine, right? Like, someone's got to play. We know that Graham Harrell has talked about a lot of depth and wanting the receivers and the tight ends to all get a chance. And I want to say a couple years ago, he talked about having 15 receivers. We thought he meant receivers and tight ends combined. Well, you look at SC's roster, the more they add bodies, the more they're getting there, especially with so many tight ends, as you mentioned, going down that list. Let's talk about the team as a whole. ESPN's Mark Slaybaugh put out the post-spring top 25. SC coming in at a cool number 13, up from being ranked 9th in the way too early rankings, at the end of the season back in January. I thought the outlook was interesting here from Slaybaugh, in which he says, quote, "The Trojans might have one of the better rosters in the Pac-12, but if they can't block, it might not matter." And my God, you could put that statement about every USC team in my entire life, and it would ring true.
Well, I think it's a great summation of sort of the way to look at this USC team going into the season, right? They have a ton of talent at wide receiver. They have a quarterback. They have talent at running back, too. We just talked about the fact that they've added some really intriguing talent at tight end. But it all comes down to an offensive line that I don't trust. I don't know if you trust it, but I think there's a lot of reason to be skeptical. And, you know, the last couple of years, USC has had Austin Jackson or Elijah Vera Tucker as the guys that you said, okay, these guys have pure talent that will get the job done. And this year, I think you sort of go into it and say, well, all right, you're bringing back four veteran starters, but none of those veteran starters have very good tape from last year. And you're adding a first-time starter at left tackle to protect Keaton Slovis's blind side. I mean, Cortland Ford might have potential, but this is some serious risk that USC is taking there on an offensive line that I didn't trust. I don't trust the veterans, so how am I supposed to trust the young guy too? Like, it's concerning, I think, to say the least.
Yeah, you say that there's no tape, and I think that's the interesting part too, because you read what Slaybaugh writes on ESPN, and I encourage you guys to go read the entire thing. But he mentions the spring game statistics, things like, USC's quarterbacks were sacked 8 times in the spring game, including 6 before halftime. Now, okay, I think it's difficult for national media to really write about spring because you're just looking at headlines for the most part. You're just seeing the spring game. You're not able to go to all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem for SC is that the spring game tape is bad.
It's bad.
It's real bad. And again, it stems from what we talked about, where they took the roster and they split it up and you had everything out of sorts on the offensive line. And Gino Quiñones getting the first team reps alongside, Milik at center?
And Voorhees was at tackle.
Yeah.
And Casey Collier, Cortland Ford wasn't there.
Right.
It was a mess. It was a mess.
That was the first team line.
Yeah, it was a mess to the point where, like, I don't know that it told us anything.
Exactly. But and
I guess that's a positive in the sense that, like, what we saw might just be a factor of the mess that was.
It's two things, right? One, I don't think that game was indicative of anything on one hand, because the personnel groupings we saw there we'll never, ever see again. And so, of course, the quarterbacks were sacked 8 times. Of course, when you look at it, Miller Morales had no chance. But at the same point, the offensive line is absolutely the problem. The offensive line is absolutely something you can't trust. I just don't think the spring game is the evidence for that. Everything else is the evidence for that. And the other evidence all points to the same thing, just maybe not in the same degree, but still a degree that is way too past what USC fans want to hear and way too past what someone like Clay Helton wants to hear when he's got a huge year coming up.
Yeah, I guess my biggest problem is I think there's an explanation for why the offensive line looked as bad as it did in the spring game, but I'm not sure that it's, like, I'm not able to sit here and say, if USC had had their first team offensive line out there, we wouldn't have seen Keaton Slovis get sacked, or we wouldn't have seen any of the quarterbacks running for their lives.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything in spring camp to suggest that the guys on USC's offensive line had taken the step forward that they need to take in order to have better results in 2021. And I mean that in the running game and in the pass protection and all of those things. So I think that it's right to go into this year with a ton of skepticism around this offensive line, because they need to prove that they can make this leap. And it keeps going back to that thing we're always talking about, that this isn't a video game, that you don't level up just because you got the experience points of playing in X number of games the year before. Experience matters for sure, but if you're not a good offensive, if your offensive linemen aren't good, then they don't magically get good the next year. Something has to click. So that has to be from an individual standpoint where guys hit that next level, or from a coaching standpoint, schematic standpoint, where the staff looks at what went wrong on a broader scale and tweaks and fixes it so that you're putting your players into better position to succeed, which has always been my complaint about USC's offensive line. Is I don't think that the five guys that USC has out there are bad offensive linemen. They all bring a certain level of talent to the table. The problem has always been that USC is either hanging them out to dry or asking them to do things that that don't make a lot of sense for their skill set, or are schematically behind. We talked about that video a few weeks ago that was talking about, you know, in the Pac-12 title game, USC had the plan of running to a certain side and pulling a guard and doing all that kind of stuff. They didn't factor in the guy rushing free off the edge and getting into the backfield that way. Like, those are the things that USC needs to fix in order for this offensive line to take a step forward to get better. But where is the proof that that's going to happen? I have yet to see that proof. And so, again, I'll say it again, seeing is believing. And I don't think that's unfair at this point with this offensive line. I've given them a lot of benefit of the doubt over the years. So this year, I'm not ready to extend that grace. And I think it's, you know, Slaybach has USC dropping from 9 to 13. Yeah, USC should not be top 10 until you know that this offensive line is sorted out. USC shouldn't even be top 15 until you can say with some amount of confidence that this offensive line can keep Keaton Slovis upright.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's telling when you look at, we talk about Keaton Slovis and JT Daniels and how you compared their spring games. We talked about that, you know, last month. JT had a hell of a spring game. And then you look at these rankings, Georgia is third.
Yeah.
Why? Because they can protect in front of him and allow JT Daniels to throw for a million yards in a spring game. And it looks good for rankings. SC cannot do that right now. They can't block cohesively, A, and B, especially not when the roster goes in a blender, like as if you're hockey coach putting your teams in a blender after a losing streak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, and we talked about this after the spring game, but the positive is that I think USC has a very intriguing and potentially strong defensive front. And it's possible those guys are just making life difficult for that offensive line. But that USC really needs to live the iron sharpens iron mentality if that's going to be the case. Because if your defensive line is overrunning your offensive line the entire offseason, then that defensive line better be really good, and those offensive line better be learning something serious from that. Otherwise, you're not going to have a good season.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, the Oregon Ducks at 10. Indiana's 11th. Cincinnati is at 9. So these are schools that SC should not be behind in the grand scheme of things. Oregon being ahead is one thing with talent, but SC has got to have a better season this year so that improve their reputation, 100%. Let's talk about the NFL draft. A lot to discuss there. The NFL draft happened over the weekend in Cleveland. All right, Alicia, another year and another year in which SC gets a draft pick. Multiple guys got picked, of course. Elijah Vera Tucker goes 14th overall to the New York Jets. Yet another Trojan picked by the Jets. Leonard Williams, Sam Darnold, Elijah Vera Tucker.
Chuma
just in the
Adoga.
Last few years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuma Adoga. Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
Joe McKnight.
Yeah.
Is he a Jet or a Chief first? I don't remember.
He was a Jet first.
Sure. Either way, AVT, 14th overall as a first rounder. Jake Jufele, who sat out last season, partially because his sister was dealing with COVID, and that was super awful for him and his family. He went 106 in the fourth round to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Duval.
That's right. Exactly. Amon-Ra St. Brown somehow goes in the fourth round to the Lions, 112th. Feels low. And Talanoa Hufanga somehow went in the fifth round, 180th overall, to the San Francisco 49ers. Marlon Tuipulotu just 9 picks later in the sixth round to the Philadelphia Eagles. Tyler Vaughns and Elijah Griffin both get not regulated, but relegated to the undrafted pool, signing with the Colts and the Bills, respectively.
Yeah, so USC gets bragging rights because for the second straight year they've produced a first round offensive lineman. In fact, a top 20 offensive lineman.
Isn't that the irony here?
It's so about weird.
About USC's offensive line troubles?
Because USC's offensive line has not been good, but yet they're putting good offensive linemen into the league.
You know what it is? USC's offensive line is the Mets pitching staff. You're like, there's talent there.
But as it
to always get... like super hit and miss. But oh, they're going to win the Cy Young with Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
okay.
Jacob DeGrom can't win games alone, and Austin right. Jackson and Elijah Vera Tucker couldn't win games alone. And I mean, that's what we were just talking about. Like it has more, it's not to do with the individual talent. It's about how USC is deploying them and getting what they can out of them. Elijah Vera Tucker is a good offensive lineman. And I think that it's disappointing that it doesn't look like any of the other linemen from that class are going to develop the way that he did, in the sense that he was a strong four-star player that came into USC and looked good and got better, significantly better year after year until he reached the point where he was the best offensive lineman second best offensive lineman in the Pac-12, arguably. Behind Penei Sewell. And like it would have been nice if Brett Nealon had gone on that path. And it would have been nice if Andrew Voorhees had gone on that path. And it would have been and Voorhees still could, I think, potentially, but Jalen McKenzie and those guys. The problem is that USC, I think, too often relies on the individual to make that step instead of the team making the individual. We were having this conversation with our buddy Trent in the Rock crew about how, like, USC was a better program, if USC was more successful as a team, there would have been more guys up there with Elijah Vera Tucker in or around the first round or in or around the first 2 days of the draft. But maybe they would have gotten overdrafted. Maybe they would be perceived as busts because they got overvalued and overhyped. But, like, if you're a college, your only job is to get the guy drafted. Your only job is to say, we had this guy go in the first round. And if it turned out that guy wasn't that good, then doesn't that reflect better on your program? Because that means you took a guy who wasn't an all-star NFL great and you made him look good. Like,
yeah, and then you can say, hey, we got X amount of first rounders, second rounders. Where the good money is, too, is a good recruiting
pitch. Which is what a recruiting pitch is. But I think where USC is dropping the ball here is that, like, a guy like Jay Tufele shouldn't go in the fourth round. A guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown shouldn't go in the fourth round. And a guy like Talanoa Hufanga shouldn't go in the fifth round. Now, Hufanga was always going to drop, I think, because he's in testing, his speed just doesn't look good. But you want that to be like the exception. You want that to be, he's just not fast enough. But like at the same time, like Dwayne Jarrett wasn't fast either, but he still went, what, second round, third round, whatever it was. So like if you create, like you're better off creating the bust if you're getting the most out of the players. USC, even their really good players, they're just not getting enough out of them for them to be overvalued in the draft, which is an indictment on the program to me. Like, I want guys to get overdrafted. I want guys to run into that problem of well, was he worth the second round pick? Well, USC convinced you he was, and that's all USC is responsible for. So this draft, I mean, USC gets to say that they had 6 guys drafted. Five guys drafted? Yeah, five guys drafted. And that's good. I'm glad to see those guys end up. And I think they, you know, Marlon Tupelo could have a great career with the Eagles. Tufele could be great with the Jags. We'll never know where he would have gone if he had come back for 2020, because AVT wasn't going first round after last year either. So, you know, there's some what ifs there. But I wish that USC were more involved in the first 2 days of the draft. And it's not a coincidence that you see Alabama having a million draft picks every year, because right. Alabama is the one that's dominating college football.
Yeah, and it really, the irony here is that we talk about how SC only wins because of their talent. SC does they still have the best roster in the Pac-12, maybe save for Oregon and this and that. And yet, again, they're getting knocked. These players often get knocked because SC hasn't gotten the most out of them, even though they're super talented, right?
Yeah.
And it's a weird situation SC's in, but it is at least good to produce five draft picks like SC does. Amon-Ra St. Brown, to me, the most interesting. Going in the fourth round in the Lions, because who was the last? I have someone in mind. I want to know if you agree with me. Who was the last USC wide receiver who went higher than you ever expected?
Nelson Agholor.
Yes. Outside of Nelson Agholor, has anyone gotten drafted where you thought they would?
Robert Woods definitely was lower than I thought he should have been. Juju was lower than I thought he should have been.
Marquise?
Pittman was lower. Marquise was lower. Burnett didn't get drafted. I'm just trying to think of
stars. We thought Darius Rogers might be a late round draft pick, maybe. Yeah,
possibly. But Darius Rogers also had really, the speed was just not
right. But we thought I thought that Deontay Burnett would get drafted somewhere.
Yeah, same.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, okay. To be fair to Amon-Ra, in a different wide receiver class, he probably goes at least a round earlier. This was just a stupid, deep wide receiver class.
Sure. And it has been the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The same thing with Michael Pittman.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a reality. I don't begrudge. I mean, I don't think you knock Amon-Ra on that one. But it's the reality. But Amon-Ra is at a disadvantage that, like, someone like Amari Rodgers wasn't, that someone like Terrace Marshall wasn't.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you had asked me who I want as my wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown or Amari Rodgers, I'm taking Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
Am I crazy to say that? But Amari Rodgers gets picked first.
Yeah. And part of that is because Amari Rodgers is playing in the playoff and on an offense that was, you know, one, you know, in conversations as contenders and all of that. So Amon-Ra was probably hurt by...
Former USC commit, by the way.
Yes. Well, T. Martin's son. So, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting situation. I think the Lions are getting a good one with Amon-Ra. He seems like someone who's just going to be in the league forever.
My problem with him ending up with the Lions, and it's my same problem with AVT going to the Jets.
Don't say it about J.T. Tufele going to the Jags.
I won't say it about J.T. Tufele going to the Jags. But I don't trust those franchises. And like Amon-Ra, I worry that the Lions are where wide receivers go. Like Calvin Johnson was like a ridiculous, ridiculous talent. And he wallowed in Detroitness. And
yes, but also like
I don't, Amon-Ra isn't Calvin Johnson.
No,
so like,
no, I think you can feel bad for Calvin Johnson and for Bernie Sanders.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
Barry Sanders.
You can't feel bad for Bernie Sanders and his cold hands inside
both,
those mittens.
Both blue, right? Yeah. Okay, whatever. We're just not going there. No, you can feel bad for Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders, but like, didn't they also prove that you can be ridiculously productive? Like, you can make an argument that if you had to pick an all-time starting five ever in the history of the game, Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders are probably on your offense. Are they not?
Well, I wouldn't have a starting five. I think that would be a serious disadvantage on a football field.
You know what
field.
I mean.
But yeah, I mean, I think you can make an argument for Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders to be on your roster of an all-time right. team. Yeah. No,
they were
but,
the best other position but, at the but time
Amon
that they
Ra,
played.
Amon
right?
Ra isn't Calvin Johnson, though. Like,
no, I'm not, right.
I think he could be a productive. I agree with you. I think it's more like I am more certain that Amon Ra St. Brown will just be a productive receiver in the NFL, like quietly productive, and end up finishing his career in 15 years.
He gets
with,
to play Aquaminius twice a year.
Yeah, that's true. But I just the Lions are just not that just doesn't move the needle for me. And with ABT in New York, you know, the Jets, I just, you know, it's a wash. Stop picking Trojans. I'm tired of it. I just don't like to see it.
There's certainly a lot in New York when you look at the Giants, who have Leonard Williams and Adoree Jackson. So, yeah, that's how the draft worked out for SC in 2021.
Well, for the guys who did get drafted.
Yeah.
The guys who didn't get drafted. Tyler Vaughns, I think we had talked about last year. The idea that he could just come out because he wasn't going to change his draftability. He was always going to have a speed problem. He was always going to have a size problem. I mean, people talk about like Devontae Smith being too small and just too gangly. Like Tyler Vaughns was that guy too. So like we didn't think Tyler Vaughns was going to be able to improve his draft stock, and that isn't what happened. With him coming back.
Tyler Vaughns is unfortunately a tweener for a receiver, which sucks because that means you're going to be highly productive in college as he was, and he was great, but it weirdly doesn't translate to the NFL. And hopefully
unless
I'm
you
wrong.
Have a lot of speed and he doesn't have the
speed.
Yeah,
and hopefully
so.
We're wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he could end up being a very productive receiver. It's not all about physical attributes all the time. And he goes to the Colts. Well, he'll get to be a teammate of Michael Pittman, and we'll see what he gets to do. I think the one that you highlight here is Elijah Griffin, because
he leaves early.
Elijah Griffin is way too athletically gifted to have gone undrafted. Like that's like someone made a mistake telling him that he could go out. Now, I am sympathetic to the idea of some guys are just they are not interested in going to school and just want to get going on their NFL careers. And if that's the case, then more power to you. But Elijah Griffin left a lot of money on the table by not coming back to USC because there's him going undrafted is inexcusable from the perspective of like he should have been drafted. Like it's just you should be able to convince someone to take a flyer on you when you're that athletically gifted.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of it. I think he could be someone who ends up with the
he could end up being
career.
Great. He could end up being really great.
Someone go to the Bills and have a really good career named Nickell Robey Coleman.
Yeah. And things were, but Nickell Robey came out early as well. And it was kind of different though, too, because Nickell Robey wasn't going to get any taller.
It was a size thing with him for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a size thing for
OG. It's not a size thing for OG. No. Yeah. I think it's just he didn't prove himself, you know, from a technical and all of that kind of perspective. He also, you know, missed the pro day because of a COVID test. So,
yeah,
I'm
not in the camp of saying that, you know, this was strictly on him for coming out too early. And maybe I'm just pessimistic here, but what was he going to gain by coming back?
I think he could have gained a lot. Another season.
We say this every year, though, but how many guys come
ABT
back and
did.
Actually.
Marlon Tupelotu probably wasn't going to get drafted if he had come out last year.
He was still a sixth rounder.
Yeah, but he got drafted.
And I just don't like. I don't know that. We can't sit here and say that SC doesn't develop these guys.
Yeah, that's
fair. And then sit here and say, well, if they were to come back, they would have got upgraded because it's not a video game. Like we've said, like there's no guarantee that he would have taken a step forward. Yeah. Especially when you look at SC's roster. And there is Chris Steele there. Now, I'm not saying that he was going to lose his starting job or anything, but like there's Chris Steele, there's ITS, there's young players.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Jackson had a hell of a spring, right? There's young players with opportunities, right? And so, I don't
know. I said, I don't begrudge guys. If the decision is made that I'm not interested in being in school, then I think don't waste your time then. So I suspect that that's probably, I don't know, but I suspect that that's what happened there. But it is always disappointing when you see somebody like OG not get drafted.
Yeah,
but we always say it might be better to be an undrafted free agent than a seventh round draft pick. So whatever.
Right, because you get to choose where you go. And,
yeah.
And even though I don't know why anyone would choose Buffalo, but that's just me. But the
they're a playoff team.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you maybe don't want to live in Buffalo, but they're competitive.
The other thing is that you look at it and you go, well, I don't know that we can judge it when he didn't have a pro day. I don't know that he's someone who would have like skyrocketed with a pro day or anything, but I think that it definitely does not help. Does not help you.
Well, yeah, because USC had scouts from all over the league at the pro day.
In a season in which SC only played a handful of games, like it's things were not exactly set up here for Elijah Griffin to surge up the draft rankings.
Would you be in favor of a rule that would allow players who went undrafted to come back to school?
Yes.
Same. I would much support that rule in both basketball and
and I'm really and curious football. If that's going to be able to happen when the name, image, and likeness stuff changes and when players are allowed to you know, get payment for things.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that allows you to sign an agent, then the whole, well, they sign an agent thing no longer matters.
Right.
So I think it's possible. I mean, I selfishly, because I love college football, I want the baseball rule.
Yeah.
In the sense of, okay, you know what? You can get drafted and then just wait and see. Do you want to sign or not?
Yeah.
I know the NFL would never sign on for that.
Wait, I got drafted by the Jets? I'm going to come back to school for one more year.
Something like that. I don't know. I mean, or you can just pull an Elway.
Yeah, that's true.
And Eric Lindros.
You know, Philip Rivers?
Right. You don't get that reference.
Sure.
Rivers didn't do it. It was Eli.
Eli, that's right.
Yeah.
Eli was
that infamous picture of him in a Charger.
Yeah.
Thing. Hall of Fame Charger quarterback, Eli Manning. Talk about next year's NFL draft. Looking at the way too early picks, here we go. Keaton Slovis, the Sporting News, has him as the number two pick to the Lions, where he could potentially be throwing balls to Amon-Ra St. Brown. CBS has him ninth to the Raiders, Saints 19th to Bleacher Report. What am I doing? I can't read.
19th to the Saints, according to Bleacher Report.
Yes, that's right. which would be interesting because he wears number 9 for Drew Brees, so there he would go take over for Drew Brees, potentially.
Pretty legit.
Yeah, that would be kind
of
cool.
There was a lot of talk about the Saints potentially taking a quarterback in this draft, and they didn't.
They didn't do it. Or Fox Sports says he could go 21st to the Broncos. Then there's Drake Jackson getting first-round love. Bleacher Report says 8th to the Giants. CBS, 11th to the Falcons, Fox Sports, 12th to the Vikings, Sporting News, 13th to the Cardinals, with Cliff Kingsbury, his former offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't know that Drake Jackson and Cliff Kingsbury had
technically, much of a... Kingsbury signed him, technically.
Technically.
And we want to be technical here.
Technically. It's interesting. I think that it's pretty much well established that Keaton Slovis is in the running to be one of the top quarterbacks selected in the 2022 NFL draft. Sam Howell is usually ahead of him. I saw one mock draft that had JT Daniels go number one. Spencer Radler from Oklahoma is definitely mentioned in there. So it's going to be a pretty big year for Keaton. This is kind of make or break because... if he looks good enough, he'll be a first-round guy. And if he doesn't, I think if he has a repeat of the 2019 season, of the 2020 season, I mean, I think he's going to slide. And so it'll be this year really matters. He needs to prove that arm is good, that his arm is right, and that he can make, you know, make the right decisions and make all the throws and, you know, do everything he needs to do. The problem for Keaton is what we spent a large chunk of the start of this episode talking about. Like, Keaton's going to be running for his life potentially this year, and hopefully he'll be able to stay healthy, but there are no guarantees there. So there's a lot at stake, not just for USC here, but like for Keaton Slovis, because, you know, the difference between being the number 40 pick and the number 2 pick is just huge.
And then we talk about the whole development thing. When was the last time a USC quarterback improved in year two? Improved from the following year.
Okay, so Matt,
I have an answer.
Well, it's Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler in year two from year one as a starter.
Yes, except that
he took a huge jump.
Except that USC quarterbacks have a bad habit of having their last year be their worst year.
Yes.
So Sam Darnold's last year was his worst year.
Of the two, yeah.
Cody Kessler's worst year was a step back from the year before.
Okay, I don't know that his last year was his worst. His first year was...
His first year wasn't good, but yeah, like...
But he definitely took a step back.
But he took a step back. Yeah. Just like Matt Barkley, his first year... His second year was better than his first year. His third year was the peak, and then his fourth year was a step back. So, like, right. I guess the question is...
And Slovis took a step back from year one.
Yes. So, is then he going to rebound up, or is this a trajectory in the wrong direction?
Who's taking a step down and then back up?
Well, who's had the career trajectory of... the career trajectory is not comparable to the other quarterbacks.
To anybody, no. Yeah. The only one I can think was maybe a down and then up. But maybe you can make an argument about Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's going to be so difficult because I think Keaton's life isn't going to be easy. Now, if he succeeds, it'll be extremely impressive. It helps that he has someone like Drake London, who, by the way, if we had to predict, name one player that will be in this first round discussion that isn't being talked about in the first round discussion, Drake London is my dude. Like, Drake London, to me...
What do you mean he's not being discussed in the first round?
None of these mock drafts had Drake London in the first round.
You know, there's too many Drakes on this team.
You confused Drake Jackson for Drake London, did you not?
I did!
Yes. The Cliff Kingsbury reference makes so much more sense now.
You weren't going to correct me?
No, I was confused. Oh, like, my God. Drake Jackson wasn't... whatever.
Okay. You know... Why do people listen to this podcast? And the other thing I was going to say it was that I was looking at it and I was thinking, like, it's you put talk about Drake London in the first round, but, like, let's be real, a USC wide receiver is not going in the first round because they never do, yeah, with the exception of Nelson Agholor.
Of all of the ones, Nelson Agholor, like, that to me, because Nelson Agholor was a more impressive return man than he was a receiver to me.
100. You're telling me that in the last, 17 drafts, Nelson Agholor is the guy to be the first rounder, yeah, and no other wide receiver?
Not Marquise Lee, not Juju Smith-Schuster, not Michael Pittman, not Robert Woods.
No. Not Steve Smith, not Dwayne Jarrett.
Yeah.
Like, what? Nelson Agholor over all those?
Yeah.
And Nelson Agholor was good. Like, yeah, I'm not,
no, Nelson was
him,
great, but like, he wasn't... He's not one of the greatest wide receivers. Like, he's behind all of those guys that we already mentioned.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, it's just weirdness. Well, I mean, either way, like, Drake London, I think if we're going to talk about a guy who could potentially make that leap, I think Drake London has a lot of what it'll take to draw that kind of attention. We'll see if USC is able to thrive with him and Slovis together. Maybe they lift each other into that first round together, but I don't know. I think it's gonna be what it's gonna be. But I think Drake Jackson is also a no brainer. Yeah, Drake Jackson, sure, is the equivalent of Austin Jackson, just for the symmetry.
Again,
there.
a Drake, a Jackson.
Yeah.
SC just had an Elijah. Two Elijahs get one drafted, one didn't, and neither of them spell their name with an E.
Yeah.
Nico Fala and Fala Nico.
Yeah, Fala Nico. All sorts of name games there. But Drake Jackson to me is Austin Jackson in the sense that, like, it almost doesn't matter what those are the kind of guys that it almost doesn't matter what they do. Drake Jackson will be a first round draft pick, I think.
Because, his body's getting drafted.
Yeah, his potential is getting drafted. So yeah. He obviously has to have we expect him to have a good year. He's a good player.
Willie Batiku didn't get drafted.
Drake Jackson is already miles ahead of Willie Batiku. My worry is that Drake Jackson has now sort of dealt with nagging hamstring issues, and I hate put Brew McCoy in this subject as well. When guys deal with those kinds of things, I'm just always holding my breath.
You know, I was thinking the other day about the great trade.
Wole and
Wole Batiku and Mike Juarez.
Mike Juarez.
And the 2 5-stars that were committed to the other rival school and then flipped from SC to UCLA and UCLA to SC, and neither of them did anything.
Not a damn thing.
And sometimes football isn't what you expect. And yes, recruiting stars still matter. But yeah, it happens that time sometimes. So we'll see what happens in next year's NFL draft after this year. The 2021 USC football season. We've said it a million times over. We'll say it again. Yet another year. That should be a referendum on the Clay Helton era. We'll see. And a big year for USC. Big year for Graham Harrell. Big year for Keaton Slovis. What can this offense do? In year 3 of the air raid, don't call it an air raid, but really it's an air raid, but really it's not an air raid, same time. And the Trojans looking to build on last year and potentially win the conference this year, unlike last season. So that's going to wrap up this episode. Thanks for listening. As always, we couldn't do this podcast without you. Our bonus episode's over on Patreon, patreon.com/RainOfTroy. Remember, this episode was brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, where you can get 20% off with free shipping with the promo code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20. Get 20% off your order and free shipping, manscaped.com. Lisa, you got a final word?
The final word is first rounder.
That's 2 words.
Well, it's a hyphenated. It's the first dash rounder. First rounder.
Is it like an Icelandic name? First rounder.
Yes, exactly. First rounder. As in, Ohio State didn't have a ton of first rounders this year, which means USC is still within touching distance of getting that first round record back from Ohio State. But oh boy, should you look out for Alabama, because they are making a dang run at it. They overtook overtook Notre Dame for third place all time this year. So,
SC is trying to buck the Buckeyes from that group?
Yes, exactly what I'm trying to say.
We'll see you next time, Sam.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is a special episode coming to you on Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. I'm your host, Mike Castillo, joined along with my co-host, Alisa Daratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. This is going to be one of those really fun podcasts I think we're going to want to go back to, listen to forever, because we're going to be talking about history.
Yeah, we're finally doing the thing that you've wanted to do
forever.
Like in the first year of the podcast.
This is true in more ways than one, yes. I'm super excited to get to it. We got a voicemail from our friend Dave in Orange County. Let's roll the tape.
Rain Detroit Radio, what's up? This is Dave from Orange County. It's been a minute since I called in, so I thought now would be the perfect time to give a call so I could give a hearty congratulations to Alicia for her wonderful career opportunity that she's got. We're so happy for you and all your success. You definitely deserve it. Personally, I'd like to be a little selfish in my happiness that the podcast is going to go on strong with the two of you, because it just wouldn't be the same without Alicia and Michael. So I'd like to make a little humble request, if I will. Maybe about a podcast retrospective, if you will. A walk down memory lane where you guys could talk about the origins of the podcast and the website and how it's basically grown up to the amazing rock community that we got now. So if you don't mind blessing us with that podcast, so we'd be super stoked to hear it. Other than that, fight out.
Oh, it's so good to hear a fight out from Dave in Orange County.
It's been a while, right?
It has been. It's. I mean, the season ended. I think everyone with regard to USC football is How do we describe the current state of USC football? Walking on eggshells, or
a little bit.
Just sort of bracing for impact.
Nerve-wracky, sure.
I mean, but nerve-wracky is probably too strong of a word, because I think there's also a malaise that's going on with the fan base.
Sure.
So, like, I don't blame Dave in Orange County for not calling in, but call in more often, Dave in Orange County, because I love to hear your fight out.
Yeah, and more importantly, talking about the origins of the podcast.
Yes, which, like I said, you always love the origin story podcast of the podcast that you listen to.
Yes.
And you have mentioned on many occasions in the past that you would love to do something like that for Rut if we ever got to a point where we had enough to do a retrospective. Yeah. And lo and behold, we're in 2021, which is still wild to me that we're in 2021. I remember when, what class was David Sills in?
2015.
He was 2015. And
he committed in like 2010? Right. 2010?
I just remember David Sills committing, and it was like, he's in the class of 2015. Like, that's so far away. And now we're farther away from the class of 2015 than we were at that point when he committed to USC. Like, 100%. It's insane.
Completely insane. I have been a part of the Rant of Troy website, at least, since 2011, the end of 2011. So this is going to be like the 10th season that we'll be putting together content over there. You joined us in 2012, and the first time you and I ever met was November 12th, 2012. What do you remember about that day?
It was, what game was it? Arizona State.
Homecoming.
It was homecoming, and I got a ticket, because at the time I wasn't going to games. I got a ticket because one of my former roommates, was in band, and they were coming back for homecoming to play in the homecoming, you know, the halftime show, and they had an extra ticket, and she hit me up and was like, hey, you want to go to the USC game? And I'm like, hell yeah, I do. So I ended up going, and I remember that we agreed to meet by the finger fountain.
Yes, and full disclosure, I barely knew what the finger fountain was.
Yes, because you...
We were with our friend Trinice, and she's like, you don't know the finger fountain?
It's yeah.
Over here, right?
It must just be like a campus living thing, because you use the finger fountain as a point of like, we're going to meet at the finger fountain.
To me, that's over by the shrine.
Yeah, that's not the sort of nomenclature.
Commuter student problems.
Yeah. Commuter student, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so me and Trinice end up meeting you over by the finger fountain. We pick you up. We stranded you there for a while.
Because you
were waiting.
Because it was after the game, right? So, like, yeah. I am walking through campus after the game is over, and I've just got time to kill. So I was sort of, like, strolling through campus, and
you had been writing for the site for a little bit,
for a few months.
And this is the first time we were going to all meet up.
And actually, I wanted to say, I just sort of think back that first time that I wrote for the site. So I had written, I had gotten one summer. I didn't have a job that summer, and I had actually gotten fired from my previous job. And I think I was sort of like just like messed up from it because it was just like a traumatic thing for me to have gotten fired. And it was a stupid job at Universal Studios, but whatever. And it was for a very, very stupid reason. But whatever. I'm over it.
And that'll be an extra bonus.
That's episode. An extra bonus episode. My troubles at Universal Studios. But either way, I think I had been like traumatized by it and I didn't want to get another job. I was sort of like slow playing the idea of getting a summer job. And I had started writing, so that would have to be in 2011. And I started writing my own little like Google blog. It was called The Cardinal and Gold Rule. And it was just like my commitment. Okay, if I'm not going to be working this summer, then I'm going to be doing something productive. And so I started just sort of blogging about USC. And I wrote a few things and I kind of enjoyed it. But I saw that Rain of Troy was looking for writers, and I figured that, you know, keeping up with my little blog was sort of, it wasn't making much sense. And I thought like, oh, that's a cool platform. So I applied. And then I got contacted by Trinice, I think, first. And it was like, okay, cool. And I think I was writing a once a week I was writing a like a slideshow.
You were writing USC wins if, I think.
Yeah.
Something
no.
Something like that.
No. Yeah. It was. It was something. Something like. Something like a keys for the game, but
yeah, something
put with a different
that.
Kind of skin on
it.
But it
was
basically.
Like a Monday type thing.
It was
right?
a Monday. Yeah. It was. A, I think
so
it was.
It wasn't
a,
if. It no. Was
no.
Like
no.
That.
It was something like. What we learned.
Oh, what it means for the next game.
Yeah, what we learned from the last game yeah, and what right. it means for the next game. Right, so it was kind of a Monday, Tuesday thing. And it was sort of bringing together the stuff from Saturday with the preview stuff from the next week.
Right.
So I had been sort of writing, and but I was very vaguely familiar with you and Trinice. Like, not very much at all.
And I, me being an introvert, deathly terrified of meeting
you.
Oh,
and I was deathly terrified of meeting you. So
I'm well, it's good. So... We end up going to El Cholo.
Yes.
One of my, you, probably my favorite
are
restaurant.
Are you
going
to tell the story that you always, that you've
yeah,
been telling?
Yeah, tell the story. Okay. So we go to El Cholo. You get a Chilriano plate.
Yes.
And people, I swear to God, she ate the entire thing, completely licked the plate clean. Like...
I mean, not literally lick the plate clean, but it was very...
Basic,
it was,
like, it looked like it was
the plate needed,
a brand new plate.
The plate needed a rinse, and that's it. Like, they, no scraping or anything like that.
It was pristine. The work you put in on that plate was insane, right?
Yeah.
Me, being someone who, whenever I've gone to some sort of a meal with a friend who's a girl...
It's, of the female persuasion?
Yes, there you go. It's always one of those things where three bites and that's it. Trinice, our love Trinice,
yeah.
Notorious for this. Like, to the point where I'm thinking, like, well, what's the point of even ordering anything? Like, what the hell, right? You just complete. I'm like, this is cool. This is somebody who actually has an appetite that's actually kind of cool. No, no. Fast forward many years later, I've yet to see you complete a plate set. That was the only time ever.
I laugh because you told me that you were so impressed with me the first time we met.
100%.
Specifically because of the eating the whole plate thing.
Which is weird, I know.
And it just made me laugh so hard because, like, I am one of those sort of pigeon eaters who, like, pick, like, if I eat half a sandwich, then that's, like, a sign that I was actually hungry. So, yeah, I am very much a, I always have leftovers. I never finish a plate. Portions, I generally do small. But I will say, the magic that happened that day was that, A, El Cholo's Chilriano plate is very good. It's just a single Chilriano, though.
No,
not
El Cholo in general, elite.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. But a Chilriano, single, not a large one either. With rice and beans. And when I'm nervous, I fixate on eating because it's something to do. And so we were having a good conversation, but also it was like, you know, like I just wanted to, I was eating, just right. nervous eating. And also now that I'm thinking about it, I was at a football game. I don't get food at football games. So
this
I hadn't
is,
eaten
true.
Until, you know, in the morning I would have eaten. So I probably was very hungry.
Yeah, for sure. And
this is the content that the people wanted to find out with the 100%, podcast.
100%. Yes, this is exactly it. So we have a good time. The next week, SC plays UCLA. Doesn't end up well. You run the Twitter account for the first time. And really from then
which
on...
Which was also very nerve-wracking because...
Was it?
Yes, because you had told me that, like, we have a very specific... Like, no all caps, don't be too fanny. Like, and I didn't know what... was pushing it too far, like what was acceptable and what was not, like
cracking that whip.
Yeah, you're very much in the whip cracker on the social media front.
So things just really snowballed from there in the sense that you ended up doing more and more for the site. A couple months later, you become the editor. Trinice,
that was over the summer.
Yeah, Trinice had too much on her plate with school and whatnot, and so you and I were co-editors for Rent of Troy. The following year, we started to do rot trips. First rot trip is up to Cal, November of 2013. And I remember a very specific moment. That Friday, driving up to Cal, our friend Trinice lives up in NorCal at the time. We had to drive all the way there. I'm thinking, I got to be in the car with 6 hours with this person.
Yeah.
How would me,
who we still,
deathly afraid, Mr. Someone who deals with social anxiety and an introvert and all that stuff, like, how am I going to keep conversation? Well, it wasn't a problem. You and I had a great day. We drove all the way there. Trinice was going to Cal at the time, actually. So she had to cover a football game.
A high school football game.
You and I went there to the football game. We sat there and watched the football game. And it was in that moment that I knew that I was smitten.
Oh, is this becoming a relationship story now, too?
It might be. Who knows? It was that moment that I knew that I was smitten because we were talking about everything about sports, about our lives, everything, and everything seemed to click. I knew I had a strong connection with you. I knew that you were going to be someone that I wanted to be around for a long time. So we end up being really good friends after that.
I'd say before that trip, we were friendly. I think after that trip, we were, I think we became very good friends. Well,
100%.
I think that had to have been the same year that we went to the Vegas Bowl, right?
Yeah, the Vegas Bowl was a month later.
Yes, because I think that trip we really became good friends, and then I think the Vegas Bowl trip was when we very much solidified, like, no, like, we could be best friends.
Yeah, and that was awesome, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And here we are, you know, 6 years. Well, gonna pass forward 6 years later, November of 2019. And I said I didn't want to be friends anymore. I said that you and I need to take our connection to the next level. And you agreed. You actually agreed.
I agreed.
You agreed.
Yeah. After years of sitting hopelessly in the friend zone.
Sure. Thanks. Just now's not the time. Anyways, so the more I think about it, here we are a year and a half later. It's May 2nd. 2021, and I think it's time to evolve again. So this is when I gotta adjust the microphone here. Basically, I go to ask you one more time if you wanted to evolve like Pokemon or something.
Oh my god!
Do you want to take what we have, our relationship, and go to the next level? And will you marry me?
Yes! Oh my god!
She said yes, folks. She said yes.
What? Oh my god!
Well, put it on.
Oh my god! Is that, which hand is it? Oh my god! It's so pretty! Oh man! That's amazing! Is that why you asked for you about my birthstone?
Well, yes.
You can stand up. I love you. Are we seriously podcasting right now, though?
We might be.
Like, is this actually going out?
It might be.
Oh my gosh. When did you get it?
Last week.
Okay, I gotta describe the ring. It's a silver band, with a
It's white gold.
Okay, white gold. I'm not a jewelry person, so I don't know the exact way to describe this, but it's white gold, and it's got a sapphire in the middle that's surrounded by, what would we say, two rows of
diamonds,
of diamonds, and then there's like a, like, the sides, the diamonds come down. This is, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Awesome. I am so glad.
Oh my god, that was such a good proposal, though.
She didn't know it was coming,
I didn't
folks.
Know it was coming. Wait, when did you decide you were going to do it? Hold on, now we need a proposal retrospective. I need to know everything.
You need to know, okay.
Who knows?
Everybody knows.
Who did you tell?
People are not coming for game night.
You're kidding me.
No. Everybody knows.
Do my parents know?
Your parents know, yes.
Did you tell my dad?
Yeah, I went to your parents' house.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God,
when
yes.
When did you do that?
Last week when you were at when you were working out.
No.
Yes.
You no.
Yes.
For real?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So
why do you think Andy was messaging you wanting to know what was going on?
I didn't know why my brother was messaging me wanting to know what was going on. You don't know my brother. He constantly texts me to say, "Hi, what's up?" It was not out of the ordinary.
Good. I'm glad. So today's going to be a party.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be a good time. We spent the whole day cleaning. Now it makes sense why you said that we had to podcast. Because
well, obviously, I had to set it up. And the worrying part for me was, how are we going to stick to this? Like I was worried like you were going to be like, oh, we don't have enough time. We're going to have to do it another day.
I do that a lot, too. I 100%. Do like I often am the one that says, you know, it's just not going to. We just can't record right now. There's too much going on. But the good news is we did. OK, so back I can't believe this podcast. But this is so fitting.
It's us, right?
No, I genuinely, like, this was literally the sweetest way you could have proposed.
She's smiling, folks.
I'm so happy.
Like, her face is red. It's beautiful.
Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, you and I have had conversations when we got together. I think we both agreed that we were all in. I mean, you had been all in for a long time.
Since November 2013, obviously, clearly.
And I when I ended my previous relationship, I knew that you were going to be hovering. I knew that you were going to shoot
hovering?
Your I knew that you were going to shoot your shot again.
Okay.
And I was very worried because I didn't want to jump into another relationship. I didn't want, like, if it happened with you, I didn't want it to be a rebound. And I wanted to be certain about where we stood, like, as friends and as people and as, you know, in all the future.
Right.
And, like, so when I basically made the decision to say, yes, I can be in a relationship with Michael, it was very much I am all in. I am marrying this man. Like, that's it. And
today you agreed.
We have had conversations in the past about we want to get married and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I had thought, like, okay, so if he proposes, how is he going to do it? And I thought, like,
trust me, I've wondered this forever. And I wanted to do it in a way that I thought would be special and meaningful, but also a way that was very us. And I thought this was it.
Yeah, no, this is perfect.
Everyone I talked to seemed to love it.
No, this is amazing. I'm so happy. But the backstory here is that Michael and I, our place has been an absolute dumpster for weeks because we've just been too. I've been so busy with my new gig at work and just everything that's been going on. The house had just gotten crazy. So we set up a game night with friends. I thought we were setting up a game night with friends because we've always wanted to do a game night.
I mean, it's still going to be a game night, but like...
Yes, but like, for me, it was like we had this urgency to get the house clean this whole week because we had people coming over for game night. So like, we've literally spent the entire morning. I was out in the patio just like, I'm now glad I was sweaty and dirty and gross and I threw on a new shirt and a new pair of pants when we sat down to do this. I'm now glad I'm not a complete and utter wreck. I mean, I'm still a wreck, but...
It was funny because when I was talking to your parents, I'm like, I don't know, doing the proposal when, you know, we're just at home in sweatpants or whatever might be a little weird. But it's us.
Oh my gosh, it's very us.
Yeah, 100%.
It's very us. I'm not even wearing sweatpants, so I kind of ruined it because I swapped out of them.
I know. You complete ruin in everything.
Ruin everything, yes.
All right, folks. This is going to wrap up the proposal podcast. Thanks for listening.
That's why you didn't do the... hold on. Wait, was Dave in on it?
Yes, Dave was
Oh my gosh, Dave! No, when... True to form, true to us too, for the record, true to Michael. It took us four takes to start the podcast.
A few takes, for sure.
And I was sitting here going like, that's why is he starting the podcast? Like, welcome back to the podcast. Like, why is he like not just coming out and saying it's a retrospective? Like, I thought it was. That's why, because it's the proposal podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
I love you.
I love you too.
I'm so glad that we got to do this. Me too. Perfect.
And I'm glad you listening got to enjoy this.
I'm so glad our listeners got to be part of this. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy. We're having a rot wedding.
A rot wedding. Hopefully it doesn't go like the red wedding, but.
Well, ugh. You know, what's a wedding without a few stabby stabs?
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.